This section devoted to psalmody and prayer is primarily concerned with that very central spiritual practice, which is our chanting of the Psalter, to a lesser extent also the singing of other kinds of hymns. What I'd like to try to do in these texts is to give us a sense both of the importance coming to us from the tradition of praying the Psalms, and particularly of chanting the Psalms, because, as we'll see, the Psalter is intended to be chanted, is intended to be sung, and it's really only when we sing it that we are re-experiencing it as it was originally intended and as our monastic forebears experienced this spiritual practice. But we're also going to be concerned with the fact that psalmody and prayer are always intertwined in our tradition. There is an interwoven rhythm of psalmody and prayer, especially when we look at the early monastic authors, Cassian and Evagrius and others. We'll see that they specifically mention an interval, a period of silence following each psalm, which is intended to be the transformation of that heard, listened to psalm experience into our own prayer, the point where the Word of God expressed in the psalm touches our own lives and enables us to become an offering to God, to have something to give back to the Lord. These texts will be primarily concerned with that interwoven rhythm and also with giving us a sense of something of the practice of psalmody as it comes to us from the ancient tradition. This first picture, this first series of texts that we have, begins with a very ancient catacomb picture of Christ as Orpheus. Christ depicted using the classical Roman, Greco-Roman motif of Orpheus, the great mythological figure who went down into the underworld and so charmed the guards and gods of the underworld by his playing of the lyre, that he was permitted to bring Eurydice back up on the journey towards the surface, but of course that didn't go very well, and ultimately Orpheus meets a bad end. However, Orpheus as the archetype of the great musician, even the musician of the gods, the musician whose music has the power to transform and even to heal and to soothe, is a very traditional image from the Greco-Roman period, and of course it corresponds extremely well to what Christians understood the practice of psalmody to be about. Christ as Orpheus, Christ as the one who presents us with the new music, who has the new power to transform with his word, and whose teachings, when they are chanted and when they are sung, also have that power, becomes a very important figure and very important symbol. If we drop down to the selection entitled The Psalter Hymnal of the Jewish Temple, we've seen this before, and this is essentially a brief selection from Psalm 1, which reminds us of the fact that in this first psalm, which is the introduction to the Psalter, and also provides, if you will, the means of using the Psalter, we're reminded of several things. That there is a practice of meditating on the law of the Lord day and night, this meletao in the Greek, this haggah in the Hebrew, which is given in the right-hand side, this muttering, this reciting, this repeating of the word within the heart, which we've already studied in our discussion of Lectio Divina, is also at the heart of psalmody. The psalms provide words and phrases which fix within us and then allow us, in returning to them, to discover that we have a word of God, a means of blessing. And the very first word of the Psalms is that word ashrei, which means happy or blessed, very much like the Greek form makarios, which is what Jesus uses in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who. This is the first word of the Psalter. It's the key to interpretation of the Psalter. It's a reminder of the fact that the Psalter is for an experience of blessing, and it is itself witness to God's blessing of creation. The illumination that I've chosen is from a Jewish illuminated manuscript of the medieval period, It also contains the word Ashrei, the very first word of the Psalter, and it is an illumination from the beginning of the Psalter. King David is sitting holding his harp. This is not a lyre, which Orpheus was holding, but is rather a true harp. And he is singing the words of the Psalms. And notice where he is. It is as if he has been transported back into Eden. He is in the garden where all the animals are listening and are living at peace. This reflects a very ancient tradition, which is both Jewish and Christian, that the Psalter has a mystical power to create peace and harmony, and even in its best form, as it were, to catch an echo, not just of eternity, but of the state in which we were originally created and intended to be. Just as the monastic movement had the notion that we could be restored to our primordial state of Adam and Eve in the garden through the practice of asceticism, so the practice of singing the Psalms was understood as being a means of listening to, hearing, and maybe even entering into something of this original and primordial state. And these illuminations, both from the Jewish and Christian tradition, reflect this ancient belief. The one who meditates on the law of the Lord by chanting the sacred text is being invited back into that state in which we were originally created. The other thing to bear in mind, in which this reminds us of, is the fact that the Psalms are hymns. The Psalter is, as it were, a hymnal to which we no longer have the music. It is not just poetry. It is poetry, but it is poetry intended to be sung. Within the Psalter itself are the references to the tunes to which the music would have been sung. In a particular way, certain portions of the Psalter were clearly intended to be memorized as processional psalms. The so-called psalms of ascent, or gradual psalms, were probably sung by the Jewish people as they walked up Mount Zion, as they walked up the Temple Mount on processional occasions. The Psalter is a hymnal. And insofar as we are going to use it, insofar as we do use it best when the Psalms are sung or chanted. Dropping on down, we're reminded from the text of the New Testament, both from the letters to the Ephesians and Colossians, of this phrase, address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, St. Paul says, and psalmois, kai hymnois, kai odais, psalms and hymns and odes, however we translate that last phrase. Some wonder whether this is a kind of parallelism, simply referring to the chanting hymnody of the early church. Others wonder if it's a hint at an early form of liturgical expression using both the Psalter and hymnody, that is to say, other non-biblical poetry that had been written and was set to music, and still other songs. But whatever the precise interpretation of these terms may be, it is clear that the Psalter and other hymns were used in the early church. And another witness to this, a much darker witness, is towards the bottom of the page, one of the most ancient attestations to Roman officials trying to decide what to do with Christians. The correspondence between Pliny the Younger and the Emperor Trajan on what to do with these Christians. Pliny, in describing what was being done in his province, describes that the Christians seem to be fairly innocuous. They meet on a particular day and sing responsively, he says, a hymn to Christ as if to a god. So Christians are known for and are practicing ritual chant as a part of their very early worship. And Cyprian of Carthage, dropping down to the last section on this page, describes at the end of his letter to Donatus, part of which we've already studied in our discussion of Lectio, he mentions that even your meals, even your eating together as a community, and not, this is not the Eucharist or even an agape, let your Christian meal resound with psalms. And therefore, what you'll find is that rather entertaining with secular music, the sweetness of religious music then has the power to charm our ears. There is an early indication of this desire to use psalmody, even at not specifically religious Christian occasions. But again, it's important for us to remember that the Psalter is being used by the Christian Church, although, as we'll see, it really isn't until the monastic period that the Psalter is singled out for primary emphasis, the Psalter being chanted or sung in a specific period of time. And with that, we'll end this section and move on to early monastic texts.